This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
This is Mike Edison, host of Art Senses a Seizure, as you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, please visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, the distant drum beats from our opening theme song telling everyone that it's eating disorder time.
That's right.
On the heritageradionetwork.org. My name is Crazy Legs Conti. I'm joined by my co-host, the Reverend.
It's the Reverend Spiro right here.
And we have an amazing guest on. I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to say absolutely our funniest guest ever, but it's going to be our funniest guest ever. So I'm going to start. I'm going to start off with a sad note. Okay. The food community did lose a member of its tribe and a good friend of mine. Actually, I've known him for a long time. Josh Ozersky, better known as Mr. Cutlets, unfortunately passed away. He was in Chicago for the James Beard Award and had done karaoke until 4 a.m. And his parents died early, I think, of heart trouble. We don't know what he passed away from. But the lesson, and the reason it's not terribly sad, although he was very young, he had lots of food jobs. He always landed. He was a food writer for Esquire, for New York Magazine. He actually had a show on the Heritage Radio at one point. But like myself, slightly irresponsible in that we would find ourselves cooking hash on a flat-top grill at 5 a.m., or having a good time. He went by Mr. Cutlets, and you can check out his oeuvre. He wrote a book on Archie Bunker. Yeah, that's it. He wrote a great book on the history of the hamburger. Meet Me in Manhattan is one of his. But he lived life to the fullest, almost to the extreme. I think his big saying was, the meat is the meat, and the fat is the vegetable. He ran an event called Meatopia for many years. And he had a dish that he turned me onto that was he would take a syringe, fill it with pork fat, and inject it into a beef dish. It was like fatty McFat fat. So the advice is not to eat quinoa or to go healthy to extend your life by 6 months, but to really go out, really go out in a blaze of fats and nitrates and triglycerides. And so to Mr. Cutlets, Josh Ozersky, we miss him, and we will eat a voluminous meal in his honor.
So, okay, so how was your week so far?
I have squandered my entire week. I had some writing responsibilities. I didn't do them. I took a nap. I watched Garfunkel and Oates on Netflix.
Right. Really?
I watched the Noah movie on Netflix. That's how desperate
did you watch
was.
Tom Brady get his ass fucked? How's that?
I disagree with that. I read the 217-page report, and it is more likely than less likely that he was aware of it. But in America,
really?
This is still America, proof. Right? Proof is in the pudding.
It was the fucking Super Bowl. Do you know how many millions of dollars, rely on this particular game?
Oh, especially this game with Katy Perry performing at halftime.
Thank you very much.
Money on her hair color.
I mean, seriously, and he got four games suspended. That's what he got.
I don't think he deserved four games. What proof was there that he was directly involved in Deflategate? None. They just said it was more likely that he knew about it.
I know, but I fucking hate him, and he needs to fucking suffer.
If he was on your team, you'd love him.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not like that.
You're not like that?
No, fuck A-Rod. Sorry. It's like, right. No, he's not on my team either. I'm a Mets fan.
All right.
But anyway.
Let's go in a different direction from sports. Let's go into the stand-up comic world, which is just as vicious as sports. Just contact sports can cause a lot of head injuries. I imagine stand-up comedy is maybe the same. But the woman we have on, we are honored to have her on because she's normally in L.A. She's in New York only for 1 week. We're going to get her really drunk and make her go out all night, so she's really hungover for important gigs. Brittany Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for
and
having me.
And you have a pedigree. I told you earlier that you're the only guest I actually did any research on. I clicked on all the links. You've done work with BuzzFeed, where you put up very funny videos.
Thank you.
You have After Ellen, that's after the Ellen show? Or that
was
So
After Ellen is a pop culture lesbian website.
Ah, okay. Yes. See, that's not one of the ones in my... I only go to like Major League Eating and the New York Public Library. But it, like, you know, pop culture lesbian sites. I'll get there.
No, it's definitely a niche.
All right. And you had you have a performance on there. Your Twitter feed is live.
And what is your Twitter feed?
BRITT27ASH, Brit27ASH.
And straightlesbian.com is the website. That's how people get a hold of you. And you, I mean, we started the show on a little bit of a sad note. You had a very tough upbringing. You're very forthcoming and honest in your blog, on your site, where loved ones passed away and things like that. I will take it in a different direction because out of that blog post, I sensed you had a love of fish sticks. As a kid?
Really? Really?
Now, you mentioned fish sticks. Does that still hold true as an adult?
Do I have to do the gay fish story? I mean, come on, really?
No. There's nothing sexual about this. This is a legitimate. This is a legitimate. As an adult, can you enjoy fish sticks?
I haven't had an actual. What is it? Morton?
Yeah, Gordon. Gordon's Fish
Morton.
Morton's makes it.
All right, whichever one. I have not had one of those in probably like 10 years.
Would they take you back to your childhood or to your 10-year-ago childhood?
Yes.
They would, all right. Because I think we see a lot of those shows, those catch shows, like Deadliest Catch.
Right.
But who's out there like going for the fish sticks? Because that's the show I want to see, right? Well, the guy in the rubber coat from
I Know What You Did
Last Summer.
Good stick.
Yeah. Porgy! Porgy alert! Yeah. But anyway, you had a very tough upbringing. Do you think that made you more resilient as a comic?
I don't know. I'm pretty thin-skinned in general as a human being, but I think that me kind of being left to my lonesome quite a bit made me more creative.
Okay.
So I think that that has a lot to do with it. I had a lot of babysitters, so I was in my room a lot, just like creating scenarios.
Andy Kaufman in the room, making a show for himself, but, in this case, for yourself.
Yeah, I did it for my stuffed animals.
At the same time, you've got two first names that are both mean girl names.
Yeah. That's true.
And then you're very forthcoming as well in that you had dated guys through high school and then came out as a lesbian.
Correct.
But have been, you've been in love with two women, but maybe have not had relationships to your romantic comedy yearnings, let's say.
Right.
Or of great length or whatnot.
Yeah.
You have a joke that's bleeped on YouTube about being a lipstick lesbian.
Right.
Can you tell us that one now? I don't mean to. Or do you want me to paraphrase? I'm going to end up paraphrasing all your jokes.
Yeah, well, it was on, it actually made it on Laughs, a TV show on Fox.
Right.
But they had to bleep out the word pussy.
Oh, that was a bleep that word. See?
Yeah. Well, the joke was, hang on, let me think if I can remember it. It was what is it? It was something about how...
I only remember the punchline.
I say a joke, and then I say, I tell you that joke so that you know I eat pussy, but I wear lipstick so you know I'm a lady about it.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Because in my... You're a fan of the 90s, which we'll get to.
I'm a fan
of the 80s because that was my childhood. And a lot of the pornography I watched, which was lesbian-based, they probably weren't lesbians.
I think.
Maybe some of them. Sure. Erica Boyer, maybe. So they wore a lot of the neon and the big hair.
Yeah.
And that's, I'd imagine that was my impression when I was 14 of what a lipstick lesbian is. But
that's not
entirely true.
Right.
Would you say it's just... A well-coiffed, I don't even know. What is
a lipstick lesbian, I guess, is just a more feminine lesbian. I think that I didn't, I think for a while in college, I was like, I may be not gay because I just didn't, you know, fit into what I saw being portrayed of lesbians.
Right.
I wasn't, you know.
Wearing a mullet and.
Right.
Yeah.
It didn't look good on me.
Yeah, the mullet didn't look good on you.
I've always kind of been more feminine. And so to learn that you can be, you know, it's an identity thing.
Yes.
That you can kind of like learn that you can be who you are and you don't have to label yourself as, you know.
Well, one in the news a lot is Orange is the New Black, Piper Caraman, who dabbled in lesbianism while she was in the clink.
Right.
Before
she was in the clink. But interestingly enough, her partner, her real life partner, she got an interesting name. Walters is her last name, but she's writing her autobiography comes out soon, which is called Beyond the Orange. Mm-hmm. And she was thrilled because Laura Prepon, who's in the show, is this statuesque kind of lipstick lesbian. Yeah. Glasses, the whole thing. Now, if you see a picture of Miss Walters, she looks more like the butch lesbian from the show a lot.
Yeah, Leah DeLaria.
Yeah, completely different look. So she was thrilled because she felt like, hey, look at me. I'm a lipstick lesbian on TV. even though in real life I'm
she's like, hey, look at me.
Look at me, how has it been as, you know, a lot of your humor and your stand-up is lesbian-based because it's very funny and that's what you know, to see these things in the mainstream, whether it's even just a little bit of lesbianism in Orange is the New Black, does that empower you? Does that make you feel good? Or are you just like, it's about time?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, my major kind of qualm with kind of mainstream media involving lesbians is that if it's not using gay as a punchline, it's fetishizing lesbians.
Okay.
And so it's really hard to find something that you can enjoy and not have either problem. So, I mean, I enjoy Orange is the New Black, I mean, primarily because it's so female-based as well, and it's, you know, funny and well-written. But for the most part, it's really hard to find representations that I can actually connect to.
How do you feel about that in regards to real life? I mean, and anybody who watches my my Facebook stream knows that I'm a ridiculously lefty fuck. Okay. And when it comes down to the way our politics are going and the way half the country is going, how do you feel about that?
In regards to?
To everything having to do with same-sex politics in general.
Correct. I mean, I think that it's, I mean, I think in general where you'd hope that human rights would go, I think there's still a lot of staggering back steps.
You said the word hope. That's
I mean, it's still kind of not, I guess it's still kind of like ridiculous to me that it's not seen as just kind of like common sense of like, oh yeah, same rights.
Right. Well, you grew up in Chicago. Yeah. You now live in LA. Mm-hmm. We live in New York. For us, it's not anything out of an ordinary day to see a same-sex couple walking hand in hand or kissing. I was at a rodeo in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the announcer was trying to get people to clap. And he's like, if you're not clapping, you must be a homosexual. And everybody started laughing. And I was like, what? That didn't seem appropriate.
Exactly.
You know, I was like, wow. So, yeah. Now, Rev, you're chomping to the bit. You got some news stories you want to run by?
We got some
Brittany?
News stories. I mean,
all right. And then Brittany has a stop smoking scenario that worked for her that I'm going to insist you try
once. I'm getting back.
I'm getting back. You're trying to quit smoking.
The didn't work. The patch didn't work.
Right. This will work. This will work. Because
hopefully this will work.
Will you promise me you'll do this at least once?
Yes, I will try. Okay. So then before your news stories. Wait, is it a hot poker?
All right. Let's do the news stories. And then I'll tell you what Brittany's
doing. Okay. So Alaska fish processors are chasing the market for an unusual product. It's a new one. Cod semen.
Yeah, I eat cod semen.
Yeah, because it's...
I have it deep fried. It's delicious.
Really? It's bacalao bukkake. I mean,
yeah, I don't like.
Seriously.
Are you asking if that makes me a gay pescatarian?
Maybe.
Good segue.
I mean,
but cod semen, I mean, how do you prepare cod semen?
If you go to like a Salt and Battery in Brooklyn, they deep fry it. if you go to England...
Wait, how do they deep fry it? It's
viscous. It's bubbly.
How do they retrieve it?
I'm thinking a roe. Maybe I'm thinking a roe.
No, we're talking about semen.
Semen.
I'd eat it.
I'll still take it.
Here's the picture. Look at the picture.
Just splash it all over my face.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Totally bukkake. There it is.
All right. So cod semen.
But
that's the essence of it. It's like you're...
But it's not roe. It's
all right. I understand.
Pre-roe.
So you're saying how do they... Kids with small hands who are just jerking the fish off.
Are they netting this up? I mean, what are they doing with the semen?
Does it float to the top?
Yes, exactly.
They have a bunch of fish in a tank. They have a widescreen TV showing Little Nemo. And once they get a little juiced up, they're like, all right, just... Go to the little fish peep show.
Did you want
to ask Brittany anything about that? Her feelings on cod semen?
Well, I am the fish semen expert.
Really?
That's why you guys brought me on.
Really?
Yeah. Recognized by the
Well, before we get... Right, no, so, actually, I want to bring one more up.
One more up.
And then
all right.
I do want to bring you into this one.
All right.
It's Chris Christie.
Right. I don't think she knows who that is. She lives in L.A. You know who Chris Christie is?
Come on.
She reads the paper.
Well, right. I used to watch Conan quite a bit.
Yes, okay.
Chris Christie spent $300,000 on food.
Yeah, look at
in his first
He ate himself out of the presidential
Of office. And I mean, look, I'm not a fat shamer. I'm not. I have no problem with people who are overweight. In fact, I find the body issue in this country to be fucking ridiculous in regards to what we find as beautiful and what and you know, it's kind of fucking stupid because I'm fucking beautiful. I'm a fat bastard.
Right.
All right. But that being said, how do you feel about that from the standpoint of taxes, what this guy is spending his money on, and who he is?
Well, I think we have to ask ourselves the question, is it for him and his family or just him as a human being?
No, it's him and his cabinet. Him and his people.
Okay. And this is for how many years?
5 years. 300,000. Do you know what people in Jersey pay in taxes on?
Cory Booker uses Uber the most, and his numbers are up.
So that's like $60,000 a year.
How much do you think Hillary...
So that's like $1,000 a week.
Hillary's in a swanky office in Brooklyn. How much do you think she's dropping on food? Jersey food's got to be cheaper. He's going to Nuccio Pizza.
He's going to Whole Foods.
Yeah, but I really don't give a shit because she's not a fucking Republican, and Republicans can go fuck themselves.
Are you worried? Are you a Christie? You're not a Christie fan, or you're a Christie fan?
Dude, come on, really?
I don't know. I could eat a lot. $300,000. We had the Rev bought our food tonight because we're over budget on our what I thought was free pizza on our own show. All right, what else you got? Because I want to talk about Britney's. You really quit smoking, right?
Start with that because then I'm going to get into the BuzzFeed stuff.
All right, yeah, so then we'll talk about what the Reverend now has to do.
Cool.
So you found a way to quit smoking because you said when you weren't smoking cigarettes, it was tough to figure out what to do with your hands.
Correct.
So what do you do instead?
Sure. Well, yeah. I know where you're going with this. So yeah, I was a smoker since I was like 16. So I smoked for like 9 years, and I felt like. As a writer, or as you know,
I'm fingering my cigarettes as you
say. Damn it!
He still doesn't even know the joke. He still doesn't know the joke. Keep going, Brandy.
So I felt like it was a huge part of my personality. Whenever I'd go out, like when I'd go to bars or when I'd go to parties, I felt like when I quit smoking, I felt very anxious. Like I didn't really know what to do with my hands. Mm-hmm. So as a way to combat that, whenever I had the pangs to have a cigarette, I just fingered myself.
So
even
Rev,
if I was in public.
Rev, so do you think that would work for you?
It looks way
put
cooler.
Your finger in, pull out chocolate, touch it all. I mean, what? I mean, come on. Seriously.
It looks cooler than smoking.
No, really? Because I'll get arrested for that shit. You'll get on YouTube. I'll get arrested. Right.
You're a lot of. Now, soon we have to take a break. Is that true, Rev, or we got time?
Yes. No, we got to take a break.
We got to take a break? Okay. Yeah. So smooth. We just got all the signs. All right. It's an eating disorder. We're going to be right back. We're going to eat some food, not on Chris Christie's bill.
Yeah.
Listening to Kill Me in the Summertime by Dead Stars. This is Eating Disorder on HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
We'll be right back.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super-duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
They are awesome. We are back, Eating Disorder. The Rev, myself, Crazy Legs Conti, joined by Brittany Ashley, our incredibly talented, very funny humorist. Stand-up comic, what do you go by? Are you a multi-hyphenated person?
I think I still say writer.
Writer. Yeah. All right. But you perform a lot, too.
Correct.
You were just mentioning you have a writing partner who is, Chris is a guy.
Yeah,
right?
Chris Reinecker.
Okay. Does that pose different viewpoints when you guys are writing sketches or things? Or
In a way that you wouldn't think. I think that when him and I write sketches together, he kind of comes off as the more effeminate one.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
That's, I'm sure he's thrilled to hear that. Like the BuzzFeed, I watched a couple. I watched one that as a lesbian, you can't date another lesbian with your same name.
Right.
Or you had some dating woes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Really?
Would it, well, yeah.
Why?
Why? It's so confusing. It's like Lauren.
I wouldn't date a woman named Spiro. I mean, I would.
Yeah.
My name's Brittany, obviously. I dated a girl named Whitney, and it was just like.
Brittany Whitney.
Yeah, yeah. It was too much.
All right. Did he help you write that, or did you write that on your
own? I wrote that on my own.
I thought you might have written that on your own. All right. So you are in New York because you're in a competition.
Correct.
It seems like comedians shouldn't compete with each other.
No.
Now, what is the competition?
It's called Laughing Devil. Mm-hmm. It's for the next few nights. It starts tomorrow.
Where?
Tomorrow's Tuesday.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, tomorrow, Tuesday.
I was more asking for myself, but go ahead. All
right. So tomorrow I have a show at Eastville Comedy Club at 9 p.m. Wednesday I have a show at Broadway Comedy Club at 7. It's this competition where
Eastville is on East 4th Street, right?
Yeah.
I'm not certain, but
I believe
probably.
It's right that's by Oddfellows Ice Cream. I'm going to be buying lemon meringue ice cream at the same time. I might have to come see you. Can the public come?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Aren't you on East 4th?
I'm on East 3rd.
East 3rd, right.
I'm a block away.
Okay.
Is it what? So tomorrow night, Tuesday is at what time? 7?
Tomorrow is at 9 p.m.
Oh, good.
Tuesday
good.
Is at 9 p.m. in Eastville.
All right.
But there's tons of shows going on around the city, but those are the ones that I'm in.
Okay.
It's a competition where you can't repeat any material,
which is
kind of cool. And I did, it's like Sister Festival in October called She Devil, which was all women, but this one's co-ed.
Cool.
And we were talking off the air about. You know, I said I'd watched Garfunkel and Oates today, which is a IFC show that is on Netflix about two, really they do parody songs, but they did a nice job of extending this into a half hour world.
Mm-hmm.
And you, top of your list is Sarah Silverman.
Yes.
Now, Sarah Silverman as like someone you would aspire to be or emulate or just because she's beautiful and crass and sexy and dirty and funny.
Just all.
Yes to all.
She is one of the few comics where almost anything that comes out of her mouth, I'm excited to hear.
Okay.
And she can kind of like do no wrong in my way. And also outside of comedy, she's very politically involved. And I think that she's just someone who gets it. And yeah,
do you think she takes on mentees? Or mentor, like a mentee. I feel like the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mentos.
All those Mentos. I feel like all those sick kids have the, like, they've got the rights to
Mentos
the Make-A-Wish. Why can't adults? Why can't just normal, healthy adults have Make-A-Wish? Maybe that's not appropriate, but it seems like she should, like, take you out on a night, show you around the scene.
Sarah, you hear that?
Yes.
You there?
Calling
are
you out, Sarah Silverman.
Yeah, are you hearing us? Are you there? Are you there?
Yeah.
Are you
there? Who else do you like? You
mentioned? So, Sarah Silverman I like quite a bit.
Uh-huh.
I also really enjoy Morgan Murphy.
Okay.
There's another stand-up. I really like a kind of younger stand-up in the scene named Kate Berlant.
Okay.
She's very incredible as well. I also really like and respect Amy Schumer.
Mm-hmm. Who's the very experimental?
That's Kate Berlant.
Okay, I gotta check that out. You were talking about her with some just very far out there stuff.
Totally. It's something that I can look at. I mean, it's like I look at Sarah Silverman and I'm like, oh, I know how you got to that joke, and that's why I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And it's also a lot of things she says, I'm like, ha, that's hilarious.
Yes.
But with Kate Berlant or people that are more experimental, I respect it so much because I could never see myself doing something like that. And so I think it makes me admire her more.
From an abstract level or from a
abstract level.
Yeah,
like she It doesn't even seem like she's doing a set when she's performing. It just seems like she's making a bunch of observations, and it's just,
which is a lot like a Steve Martin early in his career and things like that.
Yeah, and it's so out there, but it's still so fluid, which is not my style at all. Really, mine's very kind of calculated. So it's like I enjoy both those as well as, you know, Maria Bamford, who also, I could never emulate that.
Well, I want to, so I want to talk about BuzzFeed a little bit.
Yeah.
You've done stuff for BuzzFeed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to throw something out that BuzzFeed did recently about food challenges you shouldn't fucking do.
Yeah.
and I'm going to throw a couple out and see if anybody's heard about these. And especially since our co-host is a competitive eater. All right. One of the ones is the cinnamon challenge. Okay, the challenge is, and they tell you should never fucking do this.
One tablespoon.
Yes.
No liquid.
No liquid.
I've done it.
In 60...
It's hard. It's very hard.
Really?
It's
like, does it all dry up in your mouth?
It coats every orifice above the neck, and there is... I don't understand physiologically how all things are connected, but you know in cartoons when you see the steam shoot out the ear?
And the eyeballs shoot out this way?
It really happens with cinnamon. The cinnamon comes out your ears. Now, I don't know. I know this happened to me. It tastes like sand. It's like face down in the desert.
Wow.
And it's really, it's not pleasant. And I think you probably shouldn't do it.
How long did it take you to recover after that?
This was for FHM magazine, and I had to do 8 of the urban eating challenges.
Really?
So this was early... prior to like eating a jar of horseradish, prior to the milk challenge, Pop Rocks and soda. I'm trying to remember what else there was. Unfortunately, I was doing all 8 in the same hour, didn't complete the milk challenge then.
Well, okay, that was the next one I was going to get into, the milk challenge.
It has nothing to do with enzymes. It's just capacity.
So the milk challenge is simply an only.
Gallon of milk.
Like your stomach does not have the capacity to bring on a gallon of milk.
What if you're Joey Jaws Chestnut, Nathan's hot dog champ? Would you like to take a guess, Brittany, at how fast he was able to chug a gallon of whole milk?
I'm going to say 26 seconds.
Oh, my God. You're really good.
Holy shit, really?
I think it was 27 seconds, but I'll give it to you. Yeah. 1 second on either side. That's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good. All right, what else you got there, Rev?
The banana and Sprite challenge.
Interesting.
Bananas and Sprite that you're supposed to do without vomiting. Supposedly, the two don't work. They just don't work. Bananas and Sprite, for some reason.
I'm sure there's a mixologist out there.
What do you call it? The whole thing is, what do you call it again? You don't call it throwing up. You call it...
urges contrary to swallowing?
No, that's
just an aside.
No, you call it gurgit...
regurgitating?
No.
Elvis has left
reversal.
The building? A reversal.
Yes. Yes.
Reversal. Now, I don't see bananas and Sprite being an issue. And speaking of mixologists... I do have a question about one of your jokes. If it's true, you talked about how you would not necessarily look forward to having... The toughest transaction of your life would be buying sperm from a stranger.
Correct.
If you wanted to be impregnated in a non-traditional way, say, which is fine. And I was a sperm donor for 9 months. So you said there are doctors now, but now you
and
were calling
this is
them
a food
sperm
show,
mixologists.
Yes.
Who can take bits and pieces?
Yeah.
Is that real?
What?
I've heard it.
Get out.
Yeah.
No, come on.
I am on the cutting edge.
Wow, I guess
no,
so.
Really?
For 9 months, I went to Iden Technology.
It's like sperm splicing?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
And one time I saw my folder, and it said green mustache untidy. And I was like, oh, man, nobody's coming in for me.
I mean,
but now I got hope, right? Because they're like...
So wait, hold on.
I think like a nice Irish lesbian couple. I love that.
So now it's artisanal craft sperm.
Yeah, yeah. Craft sperming.
Really, really.
It was on its way there.
Yeah, all right. All right, so non-sperm related, but... dating related, let's say, you are a well-known lesbian comedian. Are there groupies that come to your shows? Is it easy? Because I'd imagine male comedians don't necessarily attract the most groupies, but maybe they do. Maybe, you know.
There's been a few, yeah.
Yeah?
Women, most are kind of like naturally romantics, and so rather than with... I don't know where I'm going with this.
Is it hard to tell when the girl's an actual groupie or when she's just being
nice? There's
been groupies. Have you hooked up with any groupies?
No.
You've drawn the line. You don't think you could?
No.
Because you'd be wondering, like, is she hooking up with me just because she thinks I'm funny?
Yeah, but
there's always that.
Funny and attraction go together. Cause,
absolutely.
Because I have a face only for radio, and I'm funny, so hey, you know.
But I also think it takes away, I'm very much romantic, so I think it takes away from like the organic meeting of someone being like,
they
do you like me because you, you know, just met me and you know me, or do you like me because you like saw something on the internet?
Got it. As a romantic, do you go to a lot of lesbian bars in L.A.?
I mean, not to meet anyone.
Not to meet anyone? Because I was wondering, like, you're in New York now.
Yeah.
Is it like you want to check out the difference between the lesbian bars in L.A.
No,
and lesbian
I think
bars
I'm a little
York?
Broken right now.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-oh. Well, then we'll set you up on a romantic.
Who's a boo?
A romantic drink.
Who's a boo?
A casual.
Oh, yeah. I'm in no place
all
to
right,
meet.
I got
you don't have to date anybody.
I got to throw this out. Another piece drunk. Of internet fodder.
Internet fodder.
All right. This is... I'm not sure if I got it off of BuzzFeed. I have no fucking clue where I got it, but this is really fucking
but
funny.
It is a colored Xerox, so yeah, it really went all out. All
right, here's the picture. You guys can look at it. It looks like a bag of Coke next to a snifter of brandy.
Okay.
And it's called the battery-powered cocktail. This is a thing.
Uh-huh.
This actually exists. I'm not kidding. All right, the cocktail isn't really battery-powered, but it does have a 9-volt battery included. The newly invented electric Kool-Aid acid taste cocktail made from Campari. Gack. All right.
I like Campari.
I love Campari.
Yeah.
All right. Malt whiskey.
What are you drinking? Your Negronis.
Hold on.
Why
citric acid, and that's what's in the little package.
Right.
Right. And a 9-volt battery. The trick is you pour the citric acid into the Campari, you drink it, and then you buzz your tongue with the 9-volt.
Yeah, I would do that right
after.
Oh, come on. Some fish sperm.
Really? I mean, seriously.
If I'm going to a fancy place, I want a tasting menu that pairs that drink. Yeah.
The 9-volt with a, you know.
I see the appeal.
The kids today, you know.
Gah.
We just want to feel something.
Yes, that's what the kids today. Now, all right, we're winding down a little bit. What is it about Buffy, the TV show, versus Buffy, the movie, that you like so much?
I mean, Sarah, how much Michelle time do Gellar. We have?
So, because...
Let's keep going.
I feel like Christy Swanson really knocked it out of the park in the movie, which was incredibly well written. And you're saying, nothing doing. You're all Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I'm so Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Have you enjoyed her work in other films?
Yeah, I mean, Cruel Intentions.
All right. What about Southland Tales?
I didn't see that
wow,
yet.
Wow, all right. You live in L.A. That guy's... pretty good, Donnie Darko. All right, where does everybody get a hold of you? Because we got to get this in before.
Sure.
So,
on Twitter.
Twitter. What's your Twitter feed?
Brit27Ash.
There are 26 other Brit Ashes out there? Because you're pretty unique in my mind. You're pretty distinctive. But all right, fair enough.
StraightLesbian.com is my blog.
Yes.
I mean, on YouTube, you could just type in Brittany Ashley and it'll come up with some stuff.
And in the next couple of nights, you're going to be where and where?
On Tuesday night, I'm going to be at Eastville Comedy Club at 9 p.m.
Whoop, whoop.
On Wednesday night, I'm going to be at Broadway Comedy Club at 7 p.m.
Whoop,
and then
whoop.
Thursday, I'm going to be at Greenwich Village Comedy Club at 7:30 p.m.
Do you eat ice cream?
I do.
You're going to be right by Oddfellows Ice Cream.
I just went to Milk yesterday, and that was really lovely as well.
All right. This place is great, though. Really good. So we might have to get you some ice cream tomorrow night.
Yeah.
But tonight is your night off, so we're going to make sure you get really drunk on Campari.
Yay.
And go out and get over that broken heart.
And I am going to say, I wanted to do this in the beginning of the show, but I want to do a shout-out to our friends at Clean Plates.
Of course.
Chris and Jared and Bill, thanks for meeting with us. You guys are awesome. We'll be plugging your awesome newsletter and website soon.
Yes. So for Eating Disorder, I'm Crazy Lace Conti.
I'm the Reverend Spiro.
And we have had the lovely, the wonderful Brittany Ashley in. Check her out. Very funny. We knew her when, because 10 years from now, like, we're not going to be able to get a hold of her. She's going to be big. Hollywood.
Because I'm going to be dead.
No. Yeah. No, she's definitely got a dark side, though. Just be forewarned. No. You have holes in your stockings. Is that a nod to Jane Campion's The Piano?
It's unintentional.
Okay. I just wondered. But anyway.
It's unintentional, but I'm not going to fix it.
I went anywhere with that.
The Rev was kind enough to buy me a whole bag of sticky buns.
Yes.
So my evening ahead is set. But Liz, our engineer, is the reason you're on the show tonight. And
what's up, Liz?
I think you know, I think we shouldn't chaperone, but would you join Liz for a drink as a little post wrap up?
Yeah.
Is that good? All right. Yeah. Liz, I don't know. Can Liz talk?
Thanks,
I
mean,
I know
crazy
she can talk.
Liz.
Oh, all right.
Thanks.
I didn't know she could talk on the air.
Busted.
So let's get a little drink going for them. The Reverend will finish with his meat plate. I'll eat my sticky buns.
We're good.
It's Eating Disorder on Heritage Radio Network.
See you next Monday.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.